A reading from Luke 18:31-34. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about.
Why do you think Jesus talks in the third person here?
I was thinking that same thing. I was going through my mind. I think he's highlighting the fact of the fulfillment of prophecy. He's pointing back to the idea that this was spoken about him long before he was on the earth. And he's basically helping them reinterpret Scripture in some ways, because the text here says they did not know what he was talking about. Those aspects of the Messiah's calling had become lost to them. They so longed for a revolution that would set them free from Roman captivity that they held on to the Scripture passages that they wanted, and they'd forgotten these other ones. And so in doing this, Jesus is highlighting back to them, this is what the written word has said so long ago.
I guess the best known today passage relating to what is going to happen to Jesus is Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, is that correct? And also the very long 22nd Psalm, which begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is in part a psalm about the suffering that comes through crucifixion. It's a very vivid description of that and would have been known, I would think, by them, but they don't seem to understand it. Just like you said, they their minds or their experience or their desires seem to be elsewhere.
Well, we do that quite often. I mean, we pick and choose the biblical passages that make us feel the best and have an ability to run over the ones that really strike at some of the idolatry and weakness in our own life. And every culture does this. I just picked up a book, and I don't remember the exact title, but it was How Not to Read the Bible as an American.
That's a great title.
It is a great title. And what he's basically doing is showing that how, through our worldview and our culture, we read the Bible through a certain angle, so we eliminate certain passages, and we cling on to others because they reinforce what we want to believe about ourselves and our view. And it's a challenge for all of us, and they were doing the same in that day.
When did the, what is called the prosperity, what is it called, theology?
Prosperity gospel.
Gospel. When did that sort of come into favor?
You know, I'm not sure when, what we consider the trend. I'm sure there's always been a form of prosperity gospel. My guess, just knowing the flow, it probably came after what we refer to as the third wave of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I would say maybe the 1960s and 70s.
Not late.
Yeah. So we have to think about it. It flows out of a wealth context. You needed to have the baby boomers bringing in great wealth for a while before this could become a theology that it gets expressed. And that's my guess. I've not really studied it from that aspect, but that's where I would land on this one. Getting back to the passage, everything about Jesus seems to stand in the face of prosperity gospel. His own way to fulfill what God had called him to do was through suffering. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says, for the joy set before him. On the other, he endured the cross. There was a path of suffering, and he calls his disciples to the same thing. He says that what I've gone through, you will go through. And the rest of the world pretty much gets this. They understand that God's path is not one of material prosperity. It's one of prosperity. It's fulfillment. It's finding that joy that he's called us to. But it's not reduced to one aspect of prosperity.
I think prosperity is also about get along to go along, or go along to get along in a way. And one of the passages I've mentioned before is Elijah, who is called by Ahab a troubler of Israel. The prosperity gospel is basically affirming all the good things and all the blessings, and taking out this whole component of suffering, sacrifice, and sacrifice that is so central to the Christ experience.
Worse than affirming, making them the end goal and the last desire, which is idolatry.